industry, tea and the jokes. Actors, directors, musicians, and more. You're listening to Tremendous Talk.
Hey everyone, my name is Law.
And I'm Ash, and this is a Tremendous Talk podcast.
Yes, join us each week as we guide you through the realms of Hollywood and beyond while we speak to industry professionals in the spotlight.
So grab a boba tea and leave your shoes at the door. Welcome to Tremendous Talk!
Yeah! Hello, everyone. If you're new here, my name is Law. I am a Filipino Indian actor, host, and filmmaker who is excited to be here with my girl, Ash. And we're going to have a great day. Introduce yourself, co-host.
Woohoo! My name is Ash. I'm a mixed Filipino-American actor, musician, and publicist who is also happy to be here with my amazing co-host, Law. Yes.
Yes, that's me. Yay!
Wait. I need to know. Tell us about your shirt, dude.
Oh, jumping right in. We are talking about things that we're doing. And lately, I have been making t-shirts. Look at this. Look at this. This is a twice subunit, not to bring them up again on this podcast.
Wait. Let's describe for the people who are listening to audio. Law is wearing a black shirt that says yes. Misamo on it.
Yes.
In like Nina,
Sa, Sana, Mo, Momo. Misamo.
That makes sense. And Nina. It's like a 90s kind of print, and the font looks like it's like a Times New Roman or somewhat.
You're killing it right now. Yes. It's like their promotional album art, because they did like their own little Japanese subunit release for a song called Marshmallow. And I'm kind of obsessed right now.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Wait, let's add that to the playlist. Oh, everybody, if you didn't know, we have a Tremendous Talk playlist.
That is a great idea, Ash. And I think single-handedly, I've been able to introduce so much twice into that playlist, probably.
Truly, you have.
That said, it's just been really cool to like be back in Photoshop and like messing around in there, just having fun again. Like, I helped my buddy Warren with some like YouTube thumbnails, and I was like, man, I missed composing all this stuff and like editing things. And it's really interesting. I'm curious about kind of like the AI tools that are out there. So we'll see if I can get on the beta, but I missed it. And so that's kind of what I've been up to. Are you doing anything? What are your hobbies right now? I know that you're like, guys, if you don't know this, Ash is also, like she said, a publicist for Tremendous Communications. And we're currently in the midst of Joyride campaigns. So
the midst. This is like the dirty, nitty gritty part of it.
Yeah.
And to be like, I haven't been sleeping, y'all. It's been so busy. But the things that I did yesterday, I think yesterday was like the tipping point, right? Like I had COVID and I couldn't go to the premiere, but I was working everything remotely. But I think yesterday I was so burnt out from just in general being a human, like it's a tiring thing to do. So yesterday I painted my nails and I gave myself a haircut at 1 a.m. in the bathroom. And honestly, I feel a lot better. Small things like a haircut. It's literally like chopping the weight off of your life, right? So the metaphor made me feel a lot better.
Man, the little self-care always helps, but I'm sorry you're not sleeping well. Do you have any kind of like escapism right now? Are you watching anything? Are you?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I think I need to like, my comfort shows are funny things that don't make me use my brain. So I've been watching Ghosts on Paramount literally this whole time, like, through when I had COVID, through like everything. Oh my gosh, you know what I'm watching? The Mummy.
The Mummy? Like the like the Mummy. Brendan Fraser ones?
Yes, that one.
Oh yeah, those are great.
I'm just trying to watch like, because Halloween makes me happy, so I'm watching Halloween-y things. What are you watching?
Oh, right now? I mean, Secret Invasion just started, new MCU show, very, very spy thriller, spy drama, starring Sam Jackson. Like, what can't go wrong with that, right? It's been really interesting. It's only a couple episodes, but I've also been watching like on Netflix. I'm finally getting through all like the K-drama recommendations my friends have been sending me. And I started out with Extraordinary Attorney Wu.
Yeah.
And it's like really cute. it's like a really cute show. I can't speak to how accurate the depiction of like autism spectrum disorder is, but I know that I'm enjoying it. It's very, very like procedural. You know what I mean? It's just like every episode's like a new case, and then you.
Ooh, I love those shows. Yeah, I love them.
I'm kind of obsessed, and I heard that there's a season two coming, so I'm just like, all right, I love this show. So that's kind of what I've been like consuming in terms of media right now. Is just like when I find time, I should say that when I find time, it's like the comforting shows that I'm gravitating. Kind of like you know, like. I'm not putting Shawshank Redemption on to calm down.
Oh God. But I also feel like because we have to watch things for work, we have to watch things that like shut off our brain. But also wait, speaking of when you have time, you went to frickin' San Diego Comic-Con and you did like a pant, like tell me all the things that you did.
I'm going to be. Yes, I'm going.
You're going to be. It hasn't happened yet.
I have 3 different panels next month at Comic-Con. The first one is I'm moderating a cosplay photography panel. And then another one is Filipinos in Entertainment. And so we have some really cool people from the diaspora and from the entertainment.
Our friends.
Field. Yeah, yeah. Like Joy Gordo, the casting director, is in there. My friend JPG, Jason, he's fantastic. He does tabletop. He organizes all this stuff. And then the last one is for the Nothing New podcast. I'm going to be moderating legends and how they're told and retold. So I'm really excited for Comic-Con. It's coming up. I'm prepping for it right now because, like, work-wise, things are slowing down. Junkets are slowing down. But the last week was crazy. I covered Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken. I did the Joyride premiere. I did Barbie. I did Ninja Turtles. Like, it's a crazy, crazy time right now, or it was. And so now I'm just, like, excited to see what else is coming down, gotten down the pipeline for work. But
hold on, Lyle. So cool. Let's just take a second. Let's take a step back here.
Sure. We can do that.
And knowing in talking with like you and Carrie last episode and hearing like kind of your journey and stuff and getting to know like kind of your the things that you've experienced along the way. Would you ever imagine like 10 years ago that you would be not only attending San Diego Comic-Con, not only doing one panel, you are doing three events at Comic-Con. You got asked to do these things. And you have done more junkets that I can count on all my hands and toes in the past week. Like, look at our lives. And I am so tired and I'm stressed and I'm burnt out, but I am working on one of the biggest campaigns in like Asian American cinematic history at the moment. And I'm doing things that I love. And we're both like exploring our art forms and we're both in places that like 10 years ago. Oh my gosh. That is like crazy to think about.
10 years ago, if you told me I'd be in a room with Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling. No.
You were in a room with Ice Cube. In the past couple days.
I got a picture with Ice Cube.
I saw that picture, dude, and I freaked out.
I'll be honest with you guys. I was a little nervous going into Ice Cube's room because I was like, it's Ice Cube. But he was really cool. I got the photo. Look at us, you know, just being friends. And he's excellent.
It was a good day.
It was a good day. Just waking up in the morning. Got to thank God. But he was really cool, and he's so funny in the Ninja Turtle movie. You guys, the Ninja Turtle movie is so good. Barbie is so good. Joyride is so good. I just feel really lucky that I got to do all this stuff. It's crazy. And fun fact, when I was in the room with Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling has a pink lemonade and pink sunglasses in his hand. He leans over to me as I'm sitting. He goes, "Hey, these are for you." Eye contact. And I was just like, wow. Like, I wonder if it's recorded. I can't wait to look at that footage. But he's just like, he just handed it to me. And I was just like taken aback. He just has such a star quality. And then sitting across from like Ryan Gosling and Margot Robbie really puts in perspective like all the things I wish I looked like and could be.
Can I tell you a quick story?
Yes. Yes.
In college, I was taking an anthropology class, right? And there was this teacher who was like very classically handsome, very, very funny. I was like, what, like 20 or 19 at the time or something. Uh-huh. And this guy was obsessed with monkeys, right? Like, he loved monkeys. Like, monkeys were all he talked about. And then he was talking about, like, in anthropology, we study, like, why people like each other, like, the features that are, like, generally perfect on a face that people are attracted to and all that kind of, like, scientific research. He put a picture of Ryan Gosling on on the screen and had a conversation of why Ryan Gosling is so perfect and so like classically handsome and everything. And I remember trying to take a picture for my friends, like as a meme of like,
yeah,
look at this teacher with Ryan Gosling. And then the flash went off in the middle of this dark classroom. So everybody knew. And then all the girls had crushes on this teacher. Like, it was hilarious. It was just so bad. So whenever I think of Ryan Gosling, I am taken back to this embarrassing moment of calling myself out on taking a picture of this professor in this anthropology class.
Wow.
That's the effect that he has on the world. That's so funny, though. Like,
that's so interesting. And let me just...
I would freak out with being in a room with Margot Robbie.
This Sharpie, I had them sign a bag for a giveaway. This Sharpie was held by Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, Michael Cera, Issa Rae, Kate McKinnon, and Greta Gerwig.
Okay, can I just say, Issa Rae is the, like... pinnacle of everything I want to do in my life. Issa Rae. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy that we were just talking to someone who's made out with Margot Robbie on screen.
Yeah, yeah. Lily was actually one of the first people I saw like my posts about my Barbie junket. And I was just like, it's so weird how things connect like that, right? It's very cool. I feel like the day before I was just editing the stick shift story about Margot and Lily, and then I'm in the room with them. It's been a cool week, and it's been a cool year. Like all the things that, as bad as some days have been, it's been a very cool year. And that's why I like this podcast, is like we get to recap and it's just like, oh yeah, I did do some cool shit last week.
Yeah.
I wasn't just like a useless piece of meat. You know what I mean? So
it's good. Yeah. We get to hit like the things that make us happy. And for me, even being in this room, like I'm in my husband's studio right now and I'm surrounded by all these instruments and the things that make me happy. And I'm not in my like studio cave anymore, like typing on my computer in the dark or something like that. This podcast is really great. I'm very grateful that we have it.
Yeah, this is almost like a break for you, I feel like, in your regular day-to-day life, which is funny because you're still technically working right now as we speak,
scheduled programming.
But you know what? I think all the things that we're feeling today, we're setting ourselves up for some inspirational stuff with our guests. She definitely knows a thing or two about working hard and maybe managing our time better. Maybe we have some stuff to learn.
Talk about that, yeah, and managing like mental health and stuff. Wow, it's gonna be a good chat. I've been watching her journey for quite some time, and I'm actually really stoked to talk to her. So my husband knew how tired I am, and he was talking to me before we recorded this, and he's like, "You're gonna pep up with this podcast. You just wait."
Yes, this is a healing conversation for us usually, and I hope for your listeners you get something out of it too. But
yeah,
let's get excited for our guest this week.
This week on the podcast, we are stoked to be chatting with Rachel Lako. Rachel Lako is a queer award-winning Filipino-American filmmaker, writer, actress, and activist. Okay, long story short, y'all, her work has been in festivals and programming literally around the world, and she's a freaking badass. Have I mentioned she's also like the founder of her own digital media company? What the hell? That's so awesome. We'll get into it all on this episode. Welcome to the podcast, Rachel Lako.
Yeah, Rachel!
Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. Can you tell us a little bit about your day? Like, what's on your shirt? I love your shirt.
Oh yes, this is a Filipino brand. Actually, I got this in the Philippines when I visited like last month, and a friend recommended this brand, and it's like upcycled sacks, and they made it into like a t-shirt. It's amazing.
Oh my god, I love that.
Yeah, check this out.
For the viewers listening on audio only, Rachel is wearing a white button-up t-shirt with a lot of different prints on it, and it looks very cool in pink and blue.
Yes, it's this brand called And Again. Only available in the Philippines, but I think they do like worldwide shipping maybe.
That's not me.
It's called And Again?
And Again.
What a really clever name for that concept. I love that.
Right.
That's awesome.
That's very, my improv brain is like, and? Rachel, so just to catch you up, this is so exciting. I've been following you for quite some time now. I think I might have found you through some of the work that I did with Cinema Sala during the pandemic or anything like that. But when I stumbled onto your work, you've kind of become this like beacon of what it means to be like this activist and creative and like really owning and being into your identity and everything. How can you tell me a little bit about your journey into getting into just owning your identity and being an advocate for mental health and the LGBTQ community? That's, you're amazing in doing all of that.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. Well, thank you for that. That's so sweet. And what a loaded question. Let's get into it. Yeah. Also, thank you for that really lovely introduction. That was great. You just kind of encompassed everything that I do, which is awesome. So, you know, I think that that's it for the podcast. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Awesome. See you later.
all those things kind of just, you know, I didn't set out to really become those things. I started off as an actor first and foremost, you know. I started off acting when I was in Texas and I grew up there and I did theater. And I just kind of like fell in love with it immediately. But I've always loved storytelling, like all forms of storytelling, you know, like as a kid, I loved watching TV and movies and reading books and writing and just anything that, you know, I think for me was a type of escapism, right? And just, you know, I just loved stories. That's it. And when I found acting, I like fell in love with that and performance and being in front of the camera. And I think since I was young, I had a vision of myself of being in Hollywood. And at the time it wasn't like, oh, I want to be famous or whatever. It was just like, I see these people playing these cool characters and having fun. I'm like, I want to do that. That sounds really awesome. And just so for me, I feel really grateful that I kind of knew my calling and my purpose and my passion at a very young age. And, you know, and then my family moved to LA and then I was like, okay, well, here I am. And at the time when I was like going out for auditions, you know, Filipino roles were very scarce, very stereotypical. And, you know, I decided in college that I would go to film school, even though, you know, my mother, who is a registered nurse, very Filipino, wanted me to also be a nurse. Typical.
As it goes.
And I was a rebel. I've always been a rebel. So I was like, mother, no. Actually, I did try it for a second just to, you know.
Oh, you did? Wait, hold on. We got to get into that.
For a hot second. Literally for like a semester in undergrad.
For a semester, like, that's wild. Okay, yeah. Tell us a little bit about, we'll get to the other parts of the question. It was loaded anyway, but like from the conversations of your mother being like, I just want you to just like try it out. And then from applying to school to getting into school to like forcing yourself to study these things, even while you had that inkling in the back, like what was that semester like for you?
Oh my God. Yeah, it was tough. It was, you know, I was taking all these classes and it was interesting because I am really fascinated by, like, you know, I had to take psychology, which I really, really love. And I had to take all these other like very, you know, scientific classes and it was interesting. But I was trying to get into the nursing program and it was really obviously very competitive. And at the time as well, I took a screenwriting elective. That was the first time I, you know, learned anything about screenwriting because all I did was just was acting at the time. And I was also still outside of school, like going to auditions and doing all that and looking for a manager and, you know, all those things. And, I didn't get into the nursing program one. And that for me was a sign. I was like, you know what? I think this is not for me. And so I had to like break it to my mom because I was already doing research on the side of like film schools, like, cause I was really falling in love with screenwriting and telling my own stories. And, you know, again, because roles were so scarce for, you know, for women like me, when I started writing, I was like, oh my God, I can like tell my own stories. I can create my own stories. Like, and also, you know, create that for my communities. I thought that was so powerful. And I found a stronger sense of passion and purpose there. So I joke that I like had to come out to my mom like three different times. And so the first time was coming out as, you know, a filmmaker and like, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to be a nurse. Sorry. You know, and, you know, at the end of the day, she's like, well, I guess you can do it. And She didn't really believe in me until my first year in film school. I won an award. I won a student Emmy for a short film that I did, or short pilot. And that was like, I just had to win an award for my mom to believe in me. So, you know, there's that.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir on that one.
Yeah, right?
It's so funny how, like, the things that you need have just naturally come into your life. Like, we see it as a repeating kind of thing in the podcast with everybody that we've talked to. But this specifically, between you kind of just finding yourself in this, like, filmmaker and content creator role, and you kind of just taking a screenwriting class, and now you're this, like, award-winning writer and everything. Everything that you've kind of needed in life has found its way to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's... I'm very spiritual, so I feel like it's all very, you know, very divine, and just staying open to, like, what the universe is sending you. Because at the same time, I can also block it out and choose not to go that path, or choose not to take this opportunity or whatever. But I think I've always kind of just naturally been very, one, starting with, like, my own intentions, and then just being open to what the universe brings me.
Law, can I keep on asking questions? I know I'm taking this over.
Go for it. If you have one loaded up, go for it.
This is amazing. Okay, I want to talk about that 2B post that you put up, because ever since I first saw that, it's, like, stuck with me. So I think you were talking about how you saw this, like, instead of thinking of a to-do list, you were thinking of a 2B list. Mm-hmm. And from what I've seen about, like, all the stuff that you've done and what I've connected with you on is this, like, role of manifestation in your life as well. And I feel that's very prevalent in what you do. So how do you work on kind of creating goals and setting goals and, like, the border between manifesting and, like, those to-do lists and everything?
Mm. Oh my God, I love this question. So good. Yes. Well, the to-be list, that came from Jay Shetty, who was, like, one of my favorite just people, human beings on the planet right now. And when I found out about him, I just, you know, was watching his podcast, which I'm a huge fan of, and everything he said just, like, really resonated with me. And there was a quote that I had heard somewhere, I don't know, on the social media. And he was talking about, like, you know, usually, I can't remember the exact quote, you guys can look it up, but instead of, you know, humans, we usually create these to-do lists, like, oh, I got to do this, got to do this. It's all centered around, like, work and hustle culture and all of that, and which can be very, very toxic, and if not balanced well and not balanced with our mental health, right? And I definitely felt that, especially in, like, my early 20s. I was that, like, go-getter and, like, so into, like, hustle, 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 like, can't stop, got to go do this and that. And it really affected my mental health in like really, really horrible ways. And so when I, you know, that kind of shifted around a little bit before the pandemic, during the pandemic, when I decided to, like, really take self-care seriously, my mental health seriously. And I tried to implement all these different things, like therapy and meditation and yoga and breath work, and then listening to all these self-care, self-help podcasts like Jay Shetty. And then he, you know, I really took it seriously when I heard that to-be list and creating a to-be list for myself instead of, like, trying to do this and that XYZ task. I wrote down who I want to be, and that really changed the game for me. You know, I was like, well, I want to be someone who is passionate, who is also compassionate and passionate, and someone who is intentional with everything that I do. And, you know, so I just wrote down all these to be lists. And when I started implementing that into my life, it really just elevated my, soul, you know, deeply. So, and my work as well.
From an outside view, Rachel, I mean, you and I met technically through a different podcast.
Know each other?
We were on the same, I can't even remember what the topic was,
but
it was a bunch of us Filipinos. It was Patrick Strange's podcast.
Show Cow Show.
Oh, yes. That's it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Patrick Strange.
And I remember it because, one, you're very impressive. Like, you have so many things about you, projects that you're working on that are all so, so impressive. But on top of that, you're very poised and you had a really good sense of who you were. And so I appreciate all the stuff that you're letting us in on, because when I look at content these days, it's so oversaturated, right? There's a lot of people just regurgitating stuff, and then it just feels messy and it feels like irrelevant, but your stuff always feels so genuine. I wonder what the balance is for you to be genuine, to share personal stories, but not let the public in so much that it's actually affecting the way that you live your life. So what does that balance look like for you as a storyteller?
Yeah. Wow. That's a great question too. Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, especially in this like content creation world, and you're just so bombarded with content everywhere you go in every platform, and there's so much, and it's like, yeah, I definitely get, you know, overwhelmed sometimes with all of it. And well, for me, there's a few ways that I kind of, you know, protect my energy, protect my space. That's a huge thing, is just being intentional about that too. And you know, I try to curate who I follow and like what I let into my energy field and in my life. So that goes with social media too, and all the kinds of content and the people that I follow. I make sure that I, you know, that their messages and their content resonate with me, and most of it is like positive and uplifting and fun. And, you know, and so I also try to do that with my own content. And the thing is, like, I have really learned to, over many, many years, learn to just not give an F about what other people think. So like when I make my own content, when I make my own stories, it comes from a very, genuine, truthful place. And I truly believe in like what I'm saying, what I'm creating, the stories I'm telling. And if it doesn't resonate with someone, which, you know, that always happens, because there are people who are just, I'm not their cup of tea, and that's fine. You can get a different cup of tea, you know, but like, you can just, you know, I block them out of, I even like literally physically, if there's, especially like hate speech, being a queer woman too online, when I put out queer content, you know, sometimes it can get some hate or get some like weird, ugly comments. Sometimes I'll delete them or just block them out, because I'm not going to spend my energy on those people. Right. And, because I can spend my energy elsewhere. So yeah, for me, it's just helpful to like, I try not to engage, and I just protect my peace and my energy and my space. So that's a huge thing for me.
That's great. And I think we could all learn a little bit about that balance too. And not burning out, not letting too many people in that don't need to be let in. Right. Yeah. But it's so funny, because like, I don't know if I'm just getting served ads because I'm a Filipino guy who goes to therapy, but I get your BetterHelp ads
showing up, dude,
all the time on all of my social platforms. And beyond that, it's interesting, because, you know, that is not an easy topic to talk about. The things you're sharing right now, they're so stigmatized to the point that people feel uncomfortable talking about, especially if you're Asian American, I feel. What have been some of like the better feedback that you've heard from getting to do these ads? Have people reached out to you? Have you seen like change in like your own community?
It's so wild, because like that was such a, again, you know, kind of an opportunity that just came up for me, and I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, therapy, awesome, cool, like I'll, you know, partner with them and make these videos and fun content, because I, you know, first of all, I love making content anyways, and then therapy and mental health is a big passion of mine as well. So I was like, okay, seems like a great partnership. So when I started, you know, making those videos, and I was just having fun with it. And yeah, again, to your point of like, mental health is such a difficult topic, especially in the AAPI community, for us to talk about. I try to find ways to make it like, you know, digestible, and ways that is lighthearted, but still, cause you know, it's a serious topics that we're talking about. And it's for me, and because I've learned how to, you know, tell stories and write, and I try to make the content as, you know, some of it is funny and very like lighthearted, and some of it is like sort of serious, but still in a way that is relatable. I think that is one of the big key things for me too, when I'm, you know, creating content, like, how can I make this easy for people to understand and digestible, and not feel like it's just like heavy-handed and just like serving it at you. But the experience with BetterHelp has been honestly like, I will say this, it has been a little controversial, because they have their own like, you know, things going on, but I think any brand is controversial. Like, mm-hmm. there's pros and cons to any kind of brand. And I'm just here to make the content. So that's what I'm doing. But it's been really fun because I've gone to events and people have like recognized me, or I've just been out and I'm like, I recognize you. Or like at the time, one of the funniest experiences I've had with that is I was at the time on dating apps. I was on Hinge specifically. I can't tell you how many, like probably a handful of people were like, girls were like, you're the girl from the Hinge. I mean, from you're the girl from the BetterHelp ads. I know you. Like, I love your ads. And it's just, I'm like, oh my God, that's so hilarious. It's not even, they don't know me from the TV shows I've been in. They know me from the BetterHelp ad. Like, I just thought that was so hilarious.
Wait, can I ask you a question about that? So with your content making and everything too, like you're able to reach such an audience with like your BetterHelp ads and the content that you create on your own, but you're also like, you're on Atypical, you're on all these things, like you're still booking things as an actor. Is there like, do you have like a preference on one, or are you, do you find yourself more leaning towards one? Because I know you're also just casting something with Rayan, right? Like yes. There's so many things that you're up to.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I again, first and foremost, I've always been an actor, filmmaker, like the film and TV landscape, the film industry is my, you know, passion. And then content creation came after that because of just how big social media has become now. And it's, mm-hmm. it's own industry. Like I literally was just at VidCon and that was my first time at VidCon. I was like, oh my God, this is wild. Like all the influencers, content creators out there that are just, you know, huge and like, it was a lot to take. I'm still processing because it just happened, but yeah, it made me think about like kind of the parallels and the ways that, and also the ways it's different from the film industry. But I mean, I love it all. I just love storytelling. So like for me, social media is just another form of storytelling. And then, you know, I try to take all my like filmmaking techniques and storytelling techniques into content creation as well.
I do think your style carries through too, you know, like,
oh, hell yeah.
There's a very distinct voice and look to the content I've seen you put out. And so
they call it an aesthetic, law.
An aesthetic. She's an auteur. A storyteller, a filmmaker. Can you talk about, I'm curious about what you were up to in Guam. I'm curious about that project. Yeah. How much can you tell us about that? Southeast Asia, let's go.
Oh my God. Yeah. So what an experience. Honestly, like, it's funny. I was just talking to my partner about this, like, cause it's, we're halfway through the year and I was talking to her about like, we need to do our intentions. We need to write down. Like,
I love that.
Yeah. And so I was just like reflecting a little bit in like the past few months. I was like, I can't believe it's been half a year already. And like, I was on Guam for most of this year for like, I think I was there for three, four months.
Wow.
That was a while. I was like basically living there. And I was like, it seems like a dream. Like it didn't happen, but it did, you know? And so, yeah, so I was there for Relive, a movie that we're in development for. And gosh, a lot happened. But in summary, basically, you know, we've been working on this film since the pandemic. Rayan and I wrote it together and, you know, we're co-starring in it. And so it's been through a lot, you know, as any feature film project does. It's so hard to make a film. It's so hard. But, you know, we've stuck with it through thick and thin and all the blood, sweat, and tears. And, you know, we're still trudging along because, again, as queer Filipina filmmakers, again, this goes into like this, you've probably heard me say this many times on social media because I talk about it all the time and I'm very passionate about it. And in terms of like Asian representation, you know, it's people really talk about like, oh, now is the golden age for Asian American representation in the media and in Hollywood. And I'm like, yes and no, because for Southeast Asians, for Filipinos specifically, it's not that at all. That is not our experience. And there has been some, you know, really great milestones for us recently, like, you know, Yellow Rose and Easter Sunday and all of those films. But again, still very, we still have a lot of work to do there in that department. But so making Relive has been such a roller coaster. We were on Guam and we were ready to go and like about to basically green light the movie. We were there to cast locally. We already had most of our like lead supporting cast. We were there to do some tech scouting, location scouting, just getting everything ready to, you know, to film the movie because we were scheduled to film May, June. And basically what happened was that our funding got pulled, which really, really sucks, you know. And it was really devastating to us, especially as small independent filmmakers. Like this is for a lot of us in the cast too, it was like our first big like feature film project. And, you know, I co-wrote it. I was also co-producing, I'm co-starring in it. So it's like all these things. And, you know, we were super excited about it. And so our funding got pulled, and also Guam is, you know, a US territory, but the rules there are very interesting in the way and how they apply to the film industry and like so much politics involved. But, you know, there isn't a tax incentive for filmmakers yet. So that's something that we're working on. Like we're literally the first like union Hollywood project to film on Guam. And, you know, we're working with the government there to get a tax incentive for us, tax credit. And that's a process, you know, it's still ongoing right now. So basically we had to postpone filming, which, you know, was really hard to process at the time. But honestly, looking back, it was a blessing in disguise because there was a typhoon that hit Guam recently.
Wow.
It was like, I think end of May, early June, maybe.
It would have been right when you were filming.
And it was right when we would have been filming. And wow. So we were just like, oh my God, like the universe really had our back. You know, it's again, like how I say it's wild because at the time, obviously we were like, why is this happening? We've been working on this film for so long. Like, you know, there was a lot of questions, a lot of doubt. But then looking back, I'm like, oh gosh, like that, it just wasn't time for us to film that movie. And that's okay. You know, we're not giving up on it. It's not dead. It's just paused for now. So that was a huge, you know, just many, many lessons I learned at that time. And just got to trust the universe, y'all. The universe has a bigger plans. So
the universe is always on your side with everything. That's so interesting. I really wonder with one, your tax incentive that you're working on, and two, with everything that's happening with the strikes right now, I wonder how that is going to affect what you're doing. But what a journey, man. I feel like what you're going through, what you went through with that film with Relive, I think it's almost more important to talk about those things and like the feature films that are out right now rather than like this studio greenlit movies that are happening and filmed already. Like the real process, the nitty-gritty process of what it is to be a filmmaker and what you like truthfully face, even getting to like the point of a studio almost greenlighting your movie, even getting to the point of getting funding, even getting to Guam. Like these are all such major, impossible, almost wins. Like the amount of people that have screenplays even written, or the amount, like it takes so much energy to just go one step further in this process and to see you just this whole like just being told no and getting that taken away and still going. That in itself is a masterclass in filmmaking.
Wow.
It's an interesting
it's very true. I think because at that time too, when we were pitching and actively like looking for that funding, it was like no after no after no, and so much was like stacked against us. But you know, I think that's also a testament to how amazing our team was. I'm like so proud of, I think that's one of the biggest things I'm so grateful for too, is the team that we built and you know, the creatives and the filmmakers that even after all of that, like still are in it with us. They're like, we're in it with you guys through thick and thin. Like we believe in this, we believe in the story. It's so important. And I'm just proud of, you know, I'm so proud of that, even though like we haven't even filmed the movie yet, you know. I'm already so proud of what we've done so far.
And this is the kind of time where the magic happens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm really glad that you brought that up, just so your team, because something that I like about what you've been doing is just you're not only telling your stories and making projects, but you're creating opportunities for your people, like your friends and stuff. I'm just curious, in terms of like collaborators within your inner circle, what are like the qualities that you want to keep by your side? Like who are the people? What do they look like? What are their characteristics that you can trust them not only with the work, but like the personal relationships that happen when you're on set and stuff. I'm curious, like what do you value in another person?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I mean, I definitely have to trust that person. And so, and trust does take time to build, but often my frequent collaborators are just my friends and people that I've like known for a few years, and then like, and I've seen their work, they've seen mine, and maybe we've collaborated on a few things or maybe we haven't, but we're just like fans of each other and we just want to like lift each other up and support each other. Like that's really it. And especially again, like you said, it's trying to build a community and raising each other up in terms of like, first of all, like Filipino representation, queer representation, all of that. And so, yeah, I think, and also another big quality that I look for is just like people who are not only just passionate, but also just like love to have fun and are just, great to be around and just, good, genuine, kind people, obviously.
What's it's that? Nice to be.
Huh? I don't know. Any.
Thanks, Law.
Boo! This podcast sucks. Boo!
Rachel, can I break it up? And can we do like we've been getting into such deep conversation? Can we break it up with a dumb little lightning round?
Oh my gosh! Absolutely.
Yes,
we jumped right in the deep end with you. I don't know what it was. It's just like she likes mental health, right? Let's talk about it. I'm sad all the time. Let's talk about it. All right.
Did it come to like a therapy session?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you have no idea. This is the podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Current song on repeat.
Oh my God. Sometimes by Britney Spears, because I was just going on like a throwback, little like 90s throwback loop earlier. Oh, so yeah.
That respect. Makes me happy. Okay, something you're good at that nobody knows.
Ooh.
Okay, well, I just had said this, so I think people know now, but it's still something. Okay. Beatboxing.
What? Do it. Sorry. Yes. Sorry.
Okay. I'm not, I have to preface it with like, I'm not a professional. It's just like for fun that I developed when I was younger. I don't know. Cause I saw someone do it. And I was like, that's cool. And I tried to like learn it. And so, yeah, but okay. Here's a really quick sample.
Hey.
Hey. Is beatboxing like an Asian superpower?
Oh my gosh.
Between Sabrina Wu, we're working on Joyride the movie right now, and working with Sabrina Wu. And Sabrina Wu is also a beatboxer. And the first time I was like in person hearing Sabrina beatboxing, and I was like, they are the coolest. And then you beatbox too. Like, is there a school that I didn't know about? Like, that's so cool.
I know we're in the middle of a lightning round, but Rachel, the way you described learning beatboxing is the way that I learned how to dance. Is like I saw my Pinoy friends like doing really cool dance moves, and I would like mock them. Like I would be making fun of them. And then one time my friend Brian, he turns around and is like, you're actually just dancing now, right? Like you actually just know how to dance.
And you're a dancer like, now. You're actually a dancer. I was like,
oh my God, I'm Filipino after all. Sorry, not to interrupt the lightning round, but I was just like, it's funny how it starts really off as like, I could probably figure that out.
And that's how you know you're Filipino. You're like, oh yeah, I can dance. Natural.
It's in my blood.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, favorite comfort food?
Oh, lumpia.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And also, okay, well, actually, oh gosh, it's so hard. Lumpia and champurrado.
Yes.
Oh, so smushy. I love it.
Ube champurrado?
It's in my pantry right now.
Oh my gosh, same. But like I had a very, like it was, the first time I had it was in the Philippines when I was there. And it was at this restaurant. And I literally went to that restaurant just to try the ube champurrado. I saw it in the photos. Best, I've ever had. Wow. Oh. And I love. And then now I saw that they sell the like
instant kind.
The instant ones. Yeah, yeah. So I have stocked up on that.
Oh.
I too have some ube champurrado in my pantry.
Wait, did we all get that Easter Sunday PR package?
That's what started it for me. I was like, I didn't even know it existed.
Exactly.
Right. It comes in purple. Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay, ideal day off.
Ooh. Ideal day off. Oh, beach day. Just a nice little chill beach day.
Yes, yeah. Gotta love it. Okay, no. Going to 7-Eleven, what can I get you?
Hot Cheetos and a cherry Slurpee.
Aw, that's a classic combination. Yeah.
Very classic.
Very red as well.
Yes, very red.
You know what's funny? I feel like Hot Cheetos has been like the snack of this podcast. People love their hot Cheetos out here.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I've never asked a top tier chip.
It is. Hmm? What's your 7-Eleven order?
Me?
Yeah, what? I've never known this about you. Sorry, Rachel.
No, I don't know what your guys' orders are.
I'm a slut for some energy drinks. I love caffeine. I love my Slurpees. You know those little taquitos that they have?
Mm.
They're not good for you, but they're really tasty. But I also like beef jerky. I don't know. I'm so basic. I'll have anything for 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven is half of my ethnicity. I'm just kidding.
Half of your diet.
Just kidding.
Well, we should have a conversation about this.
We did have a convenience store growing up, and I always was mad at my dad at being like, you really had to have like a liquor store, didn't you?
God. Oh my gosh, I actually didn't know that about you. That's so cool. I get to learn a fact about my friend.
Yeah, yeah. But let's go back to our actual guest. She's more interesting than me. We have to go back, right?
Gosh, what's your order though?
Oh yeah, let's get that.
I'm vegan, so I get the vegan version of Cheetos, which is Takis, and then I get a yerba mate.
Oh, yerba mate is pretty good, so yeah.
Thank you for asking. It's very exciting.
Takis are great too. I also like Takis. Something about that hot spice. A hot chip. Yeah. It's good.
Hot chip. Band name called it. Oh wait, that is a band.
Is it really? Hot chip is a band?
Anyway, Rachel, can you tell us I'm very actually excited to know. You are literally I think why I resonate with you so much is because you're a multi-hyphenate. And between being a filmmaker, between being a content creator, between being a mental health advocate, between even owning your own digital media company, like that is something that is so cool. And I strive to be like that, but I find myself consistently being burnt out, running out of ideas. How do you keep going, and how do you keep your battery full, or how do you recharge when your battery's literally not existent?
Yeah, it's all about that balance, you know. I'm a Libra, so like balance.
Me too.
Oh my gosh, what? Yeah, wait, when's your birthday?
October 9th. What about you?
Ooh, September 29th.
Ooh, happy birthday in months.
Law, what's your sign?
I'm a Cancer. My birthday is next week, actually.
Yeah. Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
Love that. It's coming. But yeah, balance. So when my battery is low, dead, done, I have to definitely take like a few days off of just, you know what, I'm just going to lay low, you know, again, like I said, chill beach day, or just stay in and like, it's more so instead of output, just a lot of input, you know, consuming media, art. Like I would still do something that's related to art, you know, where it's reading or watching, catching up on my favorite movies and TV shows. And honestly, that then helps me create more because I'm also getting inspiration from a lot of different sources. And so I think that's why the balance is so important. Like as much as I'm outputting videos and stories and writing, whatever, like I also need to be doing the same amount of just receiving art and consuming that art in different forms. And then also just living life. Like I get a lot of inspiration from real life things. Like I love traveling. I love like, you know, checking out new environments and meeting new people, hearing their stories. And just, I draw inspiration from literally anything and everything.
I love that so much because I feel like we get so many stereotypes of people who are creatives who lock themselves in a room and are like, if I don't make this script in 5 hours, then
I cannot do that. Props to you who can do that, but I that sounds very intense.
Yeah.
The importance of living life, though.
Mm-hmm. I do like that note quite a bit. And it's funny because Ash and I were talking kind of about the work-life balance. And it's nice to hear someone who's, you know, doing the stuff, but also being like, but also take time to like enjoy the things that are being around
you. Yeah, because I feel like when you're just living your life and enjoying things and doing things that make you happy, it enriches your storytelling. It enriches your creativity. And so like, I always try to keep myself like, just engaged in different activities and like different hobbies and trying out new experiences, doing things I've never done before. Like, you know, one of the things that's on my bucket list this summer is to like take a pottery class to like go, I want to also take up sewing my clothes and putting cute patches on it, just being, you know, that's another form of creativity, but it's just in a different way. And I think like having a varied type of like life experiences just enriches your storytelling.
I love that your career, you're a multi-hyphenate, and in your hobbies, you're a multi-hyphenate. It's something about your person. What's your, do you know your Myers-Briggs? Do you know your MBTI?
I'm the ENFJ, is that? Yeah,
ENFJ? I think it's the protagonist?
The protagonist one.
Let's go! I'm the same way. I was like, Rachel and I are like the same person, I think. We do too much. But it doesn't feel overwhelming. I'm totally.
No, I love it. Yeah.
Me and Lala love talking about this. That's amazing.
It's definitely that. It's like me as a Libra and then as the protagonist. I just like love everything. Like, I can't choose one thing. I just love everything.
You got your varsity.
Me as a Cancer is. Yeah, I was going to say, like, the varsity. We're like the presidents of the class, actually.
Yeah, we
do too much. We care too much.
No.
I wanted to talk. I was on your Twitter and you mentioned something about, you know, like the industry is in a weird place, right? Like things are slowing down. There's strikes happening. And you mentioned something about like people are having to go back to their side hustles, but there's hope that the industry will, like with the state of the industry where it is, we have to rely on these side hustles. I'm just genuinely curious, what's been like your favorite side hustles like throughout the years while you were making the multi-hyphenate happen? What actually brought the money in?
Yeah, well, so content creation, which is why I've been doing it a lot more recently because, with this WGA strike and then the potential SAG strike, I was already preparing myself for like, okay, well, probably won't work for a little bit. That's okay. And so I was like, all right, let me like focus on content creation. And, you know, I get some good deals with like brand partnerships, which is really awesome. And then I also am, you know, I'm a full-time freelancer now too. So I, I used to actually do a lot of videography as a side hustle. So videography for like different brands and events, and editing as well. Sometimes I would, you know, do freelance video editing. But it's all kind of in the like entertainment media landscape.
I respect it. And I know it well.
Just like getting to talk to film people, it's so exciting. I think I'm just like finding excuses to go back to film school every single moment I can. can you bring us through, speaking of content creation, can you take us through like your process of like ideating on a video from shooting it? Because there's, I don't know, dude, it's so complicated. Like when you get on set and you're like on an atypical or on a regular set, you just show up and you stand there and you say some words.
Right.
You're wearing so many, you're wearing like literally 12 hats at a time when you're doing content creation.
All of the hats, especially as like, you know, I am doing it all myself. So yeah, my process is, it's honestly similar to my process of like making a short film or making a movie. I'll have an idea and then I will write the script, you know, or at least like write the idea of what the video, the sketches, and I'll write it out, and then I'll prep, I'll do a little shot listing, I'll like figure out the locations and the actors, or if I need extra people, or if I'm going to play multiple characters, figure that out. And then, you know, and then, yeah, I just shoot it. Like, I have a little tripod. I usually shoot most of the things by myself. And I have lights, and yeah, I set up everything myself, and then just shoot. And then I have to like obviously play back and watch everything, make sure it's all good to go. And I talk to myself a lot when I'm creating by myself. I'm like, this good, or like, what, okay, maybe I'll do it this way. And like, this, and I'll still also be like, hey, action, cut, you know, like to myself. But in, and then sometimes I collaborate with other, you know, friends and creators, which is always fun too. So yeah, I think content creation is for me like a just a bite-sized type of like set, you know, yeah, and a bite-sized way of practicing my craft, you know, because I think it's, you know, again, it's similar to filmmaking.
I never put that in my head. I always had like social media and content and reels and TikToks and like this other category, and then like filming on sets and filmmaking in this category, but you literally described the same process for both of them. It's the same.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think that simplifies.
And then when I'm done filming, I'm like, okay, let me go edit this. Let me like, and then that's also like a fun part too for me is like putting it together and like, you know, what music am I going to put? Like, what kind of transitions am I going to do? Like just all of that stuff. It's all filmmaking, you know, it's just like in a different kind of form. It's a vertical, you know,
that's it. Horizontal.
Well, I think that's probably why you're getting these freelance gigs, right? Because that knowledge and the workflow that is it's ingrained into your brain at this point, right? It's secondhand nature for you to know how pre-production looks, then production, and then post after the fact. And the fact that you're a person who not only can do each of those departments, but you also are really good at having like the big picture, you know, of all of it and like what it's going to look like, that just makes you, you know, an ace in content creation. But at the end of the day, like you said, it's like the process is very, very similar to just making a film. I have found a new love for short form content in the same way, but I lack some of the, I like talk myself out of things. So it's nice to hear you say like, I just set up my tripod and do it myself. Like for me, I'm like, oh, I really need someone to make sure I'm in the frame. And it's like, now I'm making excuses. Like, you know what I mean? Like now I'm making excuses to not do the thing that I wanted to do. And then maybe like a couple days pass and then I no longer can do that idea. Maybe it's no longer relevant. So that is pretty inspiring to just be like, just do it. Nike, man.
Yeah. But. No, yeah, absolutely. I think like, well, I could definitely can resonate with some of that too, because like in the beginning, it's with content creation, I was also kind of hesitant about it, and I would only, you know, do you know, certain videos and do it here and there, or whatever. But then like now I'm just like really embraced it, because it's like, again, it's like it's fun. I get to practice filmmaking, and I get to, you know, because also another big thing too with content creation is that it's a shorter time frame. It's because they're short, and so you can get it out faster. And as opposed to like making a short film, a 10-15 minute short film, or like a web series or a feature film, which will take years, you know, it takes months or years to get that out there, out into the public, into the world. Content creation is a fun way for me to explore different like filmmaking techniques and tricks, and try this or that and be like, oh, I like that. Like, oh no, I don't like that. Or let me try it for this video. And you know, so it's just super fun. And you know, don't take yourself too seriously. Just like do it and have fun, you know? So yeah, for me, I think that's also a big motivation when creating content. And now I think more than ever, one of my struggles with content creation in the beginning was like consistency. And that's what like everyone talks about, you know, everyone's just like, you gotta be consistent, you gotta have a schedule, you gotta do this and that. And it is hard to like juggle everything. Cause like, you know, as I'm creating these projects, I have different projects in different stages. So it's like, I'm currently writing a movie, and then I'm also doing all this content creation, and then they're telling me I need to, you know, post every single day, like what? That's a lot, you know, having to do everything. So again, it's finding that balance of like what works for me and what is important for me to prioritize right now. Like, you know, for me, it's, I want to make this movie. So let me finish, you know, I set a schedule of like, okay, in the mornings I'm going to write. And then the afternoons, maybe I'll shoot some content, you know? And so it's setting different timeframes for every project.
Aw, how has it been to kind of start including your girlfriend into this process of all your content creation?
Oh my God, it's really, so she is not in the industry at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like not at all. She's a doctor, she's a dermatologist. And so completely different world, right? Like, yeah, so I thought it was really funny that I was in the beginning of dating. I was like, how do you feel about dating an artist? And she was like, have you ever dated an artist? She was like, no. I was like, are you sure you want to sign up for this? Like, she's like, yeah, no, I think we'll be fine. I think it's great. Like, it's really cool. I'm, you know, she loves art. She loves movies and TV. And so, you know, obviously we have that in common. But I think like, in the beginning, it was really important actually for me to bring up like, how do you want to approach content creation? How do you want to approach like social media? Like, because, you know, you're not very big on it. And I obviously am. And yeah, in the beginning, we really, especially, you know, first few months of dating, we kept that super private, like not, you know, not posting each other, or just maybe like little hints and glimpses here and there.
No hard launch.
Yeah, very soft, very softest of launches. Until, you know, we became more serious, and I was like, well, you know, sometimes I had cute ideas for like, especially queer couple, you know, videos. I was like, do you want to be in this with me? Like, you don't have to, like, no pressure, but you know, I could get somebody else, but it's okay. Like, I would love for you to be in it. So I think I just started like warming her up to being, you know, on camera. And so it's funny because she's like, so not, you know, like when she gets on camera, she is just, she doesn't freeze up, but she like gets in her head. I'm like, it's okay. It's like, you know, so it's been really fun. You know, I think for us, I just try to make it as fun as possible again and try not to put pressure on it. And yeah, it's been really fun to just like include her in some of my content, and, you know, people seem to enjoy it. And so it's nice.
Oh, that makes me happy. That's so cute. That's goals.
Yes. Thank you.
I like that you have content where you could like go back and be like, you want a glimpse of me? And you could like pull different videos of things that you've made to be like, this is like the sampler platter of what to expect with me. And so it's cool, but it is also like a balance, right? Like I remember being in like a pretty public relationship, and I was just like, certain people get involved with your life, and it's like, you have no stakes in my decisions, right? Mm-hmm. And so finding that balance, having that respect to be like, do you even want to be on my channel? Like, is that okay with you? I think that's like a big conversation that a lot of people don't necessarily have when they get into a relationship with an artist, or like, dare I say, influencer. but like, you know what I mean? Like it's definitely,
yeah, it's very easy. Interesting to navigate, because yeah, I've never really been in like a public relationship, you know, and I was single for a long time, had, you know, so I had really fun stories to share there, but like with, you know, being in a relationship and being in the public, like it's such an interesting thing to navigate. And, you know, I think it's, what's really important is, you know, creating boundaries and being really communicative with like what you're okay with, what you're not okay with, and how you allow people into your space. Again, back to like, you know, protecting your energy, protecting your space. So that's something like I do for myself, but I also do for our relationship.
It's a lot of tough questions that you got to navigate real quick. Like, you want to be with an artist? All right, this is what you're going to get. Get ready.
Right. I'm like, are you going to be okay with, I mean, yeah, it was wild because when we were getting really serious, I was like, you know, I'm going to be, I actually, no, it was the beginning of just dating, like first few dates, I was already saying like, I might be leaving to Guam for a few months, like next year, you know, I like, are you up for that? Are you like, it's going to be long distance for a bit. Like, is that something you're okay with? And, you know, so we talked about that and came up with a game plan of how we were going to attack long distance dating. And, you know, and so that, it was so interesting to navigate, but we got through it because of our game plan. I think we were very open and intentional and communicative, and, you know, and then here we are. So
wow, healthy adult relationships. Love
game
that.
Plan. Yes, healthy. Go team varsity.
Love to hear it. Love to see it. Go varsity.
All right, Rachel, we have taken so much of your time. We're going to ask our couple of roundup questions. Yeah.
All right.
Fantastic. Sounds good. So do you want to do pass the mic?
Oh yes. Let's do it. So on this platform, we're very lucky to have a platform. We'll say that. But something that we like to do to end and round up our episodes is give our guests the mic for a second. And whatever you want to talk about, whatever message you want to give, whether that's advice for young creatives, whether that's like promoting what you've got going on, or maybe you just want to like vent for a little bit. This is your time. But we really appreciate you being here. We appreciate anything that you have to say. So this is the mic. I'm handing it over to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Of course. Love it when actors were on here. They always play along.
Yes. Oh, wow. That's so sweet. Thank you for the mic. Right now I am just very grateful for, you know, chatting with you guys and getting to know y'all even more. And actually I was going to say, you know, congrats on the podcast, because I know this is, you know, very new and so awesome, and love the We Are Tremendous neon sign, by the way. Super awesome. And yeah, I mean, I don't have too much to promote except that I am secretly working on my directorial debut feature film.
That's right.
So there's that. Very early development, but it's, you know, in the works, which I'm super excited about. Hopefully, like, maybe end of this year, there will be more news to come on that. And then I also, I have my web series Crazy, which is not out yet, but again, I'm really hoping that we can release it sometime this year, which I'm really excited to get that out there. And also, like, stay tuned for Relive at some point, you know, manifesting that as well. I just have a lot of really great things like in the works right now. And, you know, just I started this new video series on my socials called One Word Film Challenge. So stay tuned for that, because I'm really excited to start that video series up.
So many things. Oh, my gosh. I love it.
What did I say at the beginning? That we're gonna hear things that we needed to hear today.
Every episode, dude, between like me doing the shirt thing for you, me doing the shirt thing for Rachel, talking about burnout, talking about all that stuff. It's the universe does give us the things that we need.
It's interesting. I like that she brought up that she's spiritual and that she kind of like sees things like in the sense of like destiny or like the universe speaking to you, because like while I don't, to avoid sounding hokey, you know, I don't talk about that stuff, but it is true. Like, I do feel that kind of energy in the world. And for me, I'm just going to jump right into my takeaway. She gave us permission to also enjoy what others create. I think I really needed to hear that amongst everything that she said is do it, right? Like, do it yourself if you have to. Get a team to make it happen, but at the same time, take time for yourself in equal parts, if possible, to also enjoy what's out there and what other people have poured their souls into. I think that was like a really beautiful sentiment. And she's right. Like, living your life is the only way to enrich your storytelling, right? Living your life and gaining more experiences is the only way to make you a better storyteller in the end of the day. And so for someone like me, who also wants to be a multi-hyphenate to the level that Rachel is at, because she's like killing it, right? And has all these really wonderful things. We also have to look back at all the journey that she had. Like, this started in school. This started when she was young. It's not just like it was handed to her in the last couple of years. She's finally seeing like the fruits of her labor come into fruition. Is fruits into fruition? Is that too much fruit in a sentence?
Fruits anyway. Into fruition. Band name called it.
There you go. But yeah, that was kind of my takeaway, is to just go out there and do it. And also take time for you. Take time to like to absorb knowledge, not just like pour it out, I suppose.
100%.
Yeah. And for you?
Yeah. So there's this thing that I heard, and it was either like an improv class or something. A while improv gives a lot of life lessons. But they said before, I forget who it was either, but before they go on a show, every time they're in a new city or they're on tour or something, but before they go do any show that they ever do, they don't like hang out with each other. It's a duo group. They don't hang out with each other. They like go into the city. They take a walk. They sit in a park. They people watch. They go watch a movie. They like go live life so they can take those experience from the life that they've lived and put that in their art form literally like in an hour later. And I think what Rachel said really reminded me of that, the importance of going out and living life and taking those stories that you get in your like personal experience and then adding them into what you do. Because I think I do that. I sit in my room and I write and I force myself to be creative and I force myself to be productive and have a certain level of output, but I constantly forget about input. Like it's not a priority for me to go enjoy life. It's not a priority for me to like go and like intentionally watch a movie instead of like watch it on my tiny screen in my bed with the covers over my head or something, right? Like, so she did give me permission to go out and enjoy life because it's not just for me, but it's for the art that I create and for the entire art form. And also just like, I'm kind of in awe of the whole not giving an F situation, right? Because from what she talks about publicly in terms of dating and mental health and even sharing her journey, like within coming back to her roots and being a Filipino American and all of these things, I'm thinking of like what I would make in my head. And I'm like, that'd be cool. But also I don't think I would post that because I'd be so worried about what other people would think or what people would judge me for or whatever it may be. But just like, just do it. And put it out there and not to care and do it for yourself. Like, it's so simple, but it's also kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's, I don't know, a lot of life's questions could be answered simply, I feel like, you know, like if we really think about it. But I'm just really grateful because, you know, Rachel, while she is also very successful, she is our peer, you know, and it shows what we're capable of at the level that we're at as well. And you know what I really, really appreciate is she was vulnerable with the whole, the relive stuff. And then she talked about how it, you know, when the funding gets cut, I know for me and the person I am, that would be devastating. So the fact that she's talking about it in the way that still has optimism, that still has hope, shows the resilience of the people that make it out here. You know what I mean? It's like one failure, one loss is not the end of the road. And that's also it's a healthy reminder for us, you know, like we're making this podcast, we're doing our regular jobs. And I think at the end of the day, we probably ask ourselves the same question. It's like, is this worth it? Am I doing okay? And sometimes you just need someone else to put in perspective for you. And Ash, you're doing great. Let's just put that out there right now.
You know what, La? You're tremendous.
Oh my God, I was gonna... You do this to me every time. You're tremendous. You're tremendous. And to all you listening, thank you so much for listening, and you're tremendous.
You're tremendous. We are tremendous.
That's absolutely right. Stay tuned for the next episode, because we're gonna keep them rolling, but we really appreciate you for being here. I appreciate you, Ash.
I appreciate you, La. Thank you. This put a pep in my step today.
All right.
The podcast is always a great place to be. And please follow Rachel Lako online.
Yes.
She creates freaking fantastic content. There's so much out there that you can watch her in. Go watch her in episodes of like TV and stuff too. She's been in a ton of things. So, yeah. Yes.
Or hell, a BetterHelp ad. You might even catch her.
Oh,
there,
yeah. Yeah.
Yes. But very talented, multi-hyphenate. Very happy to have her. But thank you all for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye!
The Tremendous Talk Podcast is produced by Lawrence Sharma, Ashley Rapuano Sanchez, Gabriela David, Joseph Feralde, and Jeremiah Abraham in collaboration with Tremendous. The Tremendous Talk Podcast jingle is by Jared Sanchez and Ashley Rapuano Sanchez, produced at Hamsterdam Records.